When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Last month, we had almost 5,000 educators and parents register for our newest webinar, Defiance and Deescalation. In this workshop, I broke down exactly what defiance is, how we can prevent it, and how we can respond in an effective way. We also got into deescalation. How can we help a child who is overwhelmed deescalate safely and in a way that doesn't interrupt the rapport you have with that child? Now, I've heard from so many of you that you missed this webinar, and that makes me so sad because I absolutely loved this session, and I think there are a lot of great take-home points. So because so many of you missed it, I want to host this webinar again. I know summer is starting and you're maybe not in school mode, but this is a one-hour session that is going to give you a lot of tangible tips to bring to your home or class setting. So I'm going to be doing this webinar again live two times on June 18th at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The registration link is in the show notes. This is completely free. You'll get a certificate of completion and some amazing freebies. Hope to see you on June 18th.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. Today, I am joined by Dawn Ellis, a special education teacher, owner of Cultivating Exceptional Minds, and the host of the Be the Exception podcast. Dawn is actually joining me on the Autism Helper Podcast for the second time, and this time to talk about a topic that she and I both love. Today, we're going to be talking about staff training, and Dawn has five tips for training your team. I love that these tips are simple but have a big impact. There are small things you could do to really tweak the relationship you have with your team and really empower them to take more ownership in your room. After the interview, actually, Dawn and I were chatting about, and I was saying this, like, hey, I love these simple tips. And she was like, you know, I always had great rapport with my team, but once I started doing these things, it really took it to the next level. And in a day and age where there's a lot of staff turnover, we're short-staffed, we have to get really good at training our teams to implement both behavior and academic strategies. So let's go ahead and hear from Dawn. Hi, Dawn. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Sasha. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And for the second time, I'm excited to have you back and talking about a subject that you and I both love, staff training.
For sure. I'm excited to share a few tips with your listeners today about that.
I feel like this is something that's truly applicable to everyone, no matter what role you are in. You can apply these strategies really to anyone else that is working with that child, whether you're a parent or a gen ed teacher, administrator. These really go to anyone that's on that team.
For sure. I think so many times as a special ed teacher, you know, you are off managing adults as well as working with your caseload. And so, yeah, I think that this will be applicable to so many different roles, whether you are a para or in a different kind of position to help support that role.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got five tips for us, which I love a list. So, I mean, I'm already interested. So what is tip number one?
Sure. So tip number one is to clarify roles and expectations, but to training your peer professionals effectively is crucial for the smooth operation of self-contained special education classrooms. And so to start by clearly defining the role of peer professionals in your classroom, to explain their responsibilities, which may or may not include one particular student, but also how to manage classroom materials and assisting with specific educational activities. You want to make sure that they understand the goals for the students, their learning targets, as well as their behavior management system and how their role supports these objectives.
This is a great place to start. And as you were talking, I'm curious your advice for this scenario, because I talk to a lot of teachers that feel uncomfortable doing this with paraprofessionals that maybe they've had for a few years. And it feels like, oh gosh, can I come in now 3 years in and be like, hey, let's clarify your role because I didn't do it 3 years ago. What's your advice in that scenario?
Absolutely. I think that we do see that a lot of times, just like we have kids for several years sometimes. But by having a new year, you can set clear definitions of roles and responsibilities to ensure that the paraprofessionals understand their responsibilities and how their work impacts the students' learning and classroom environment. And this clarity prevents an overlap of duties and ensures efficient use of classroom resources and time while still helping our learners bridge the gap.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. Like the new year is like, I think, a good catalyst for that. Like, hey, it's a fresh year. Let's like establish those expectations for everyone.
For sure. I think a lot of times with the new year, you're able to say like, hey, I learned some things over the summer. I think there's some things we're going to target new this year. And making sure that we are, A, getting to know all of our paras and knowing their strengths and weaknesses so that we can make sure that everyone feels successful in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what's step number two?
Sure. So step number two is to establish open communication. And I think that kind of leads into just what we were talking about, because communication is key to a successful partnership. And so many times as a special ed teacher, like we were saying, you have to manage adults as well as your kids that are on your caseload. And so by setting up regular times to check in to discuss the students' progress, classroom dynamics, and any other concerns that may arise, but also taking time to get to know your pairs, have them fill out a favorite sheet, have them fill out like a checklist of maybe how they prefer to be talked to about things they're doing well or things that we need to retarget, sharing observations and insights, learning, you know, hey, maybe that's coming alongside them as they're doing it in the moment, or maybe that's pulling them aside afterwards when everybody is out of the room and talking to them, and kind of knowing what their preferred methods are definitely helps build that rapport and helps them come alongside you to support your classroom. And so their perspectives can be invaluable in understanding and addressing our students' needs. And these open lines of communication prevent misunderstandings and ensure that both teachers and the paraprofessionals are aligned with the strategies and responses to best meet our students' needs.
I love that idea of finding out the best way to communicate, because you see so many conflicts happen just because the method of communication was off or off-putting to one of the parties. And if you can just avoid that from the start, you're going to be in such a better space.
Yeah, I think that is such a good point, because that collaboration enhances the learning of both the adult and then the students. And it provides that consistent support of how they can feel successful in your classroom as well. And I know for a few years, I had just like this rotating door of different paraprofessionals for various reasons. And so we really had to like hone in, but like teach them quick and get to know them quick so that we could get back to providing the services. You know, so many times I feel like training the paras is a whole nother layer of our daily responsibilities, but it's so imperative to take time to do it, because everything else will run so much more smooth if you do this important thing and take these five steps into consideration.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm like clapping over here. You can't see me, but.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Okay, what's step number three?
Sure. So step number three heads into just providing relevant training. So we want to invest in professional development of your paraprofessional. This could look like in the form of a training module, taking on different topics each month or each week as a team to discuss behavior management techniques, specific educational strategies, or even how to model and use assistive technology, depending on the classroom and the needs that you have. Also, familiarize them with the IEP of the students that they will be working with, so that they can ensure that they understand the needs and the accommodations, the modifications of what the student needs and why it is there. By taking time to do this, again, I know it's hard to add in all these pieces, but it can make these tailored trainings empowers the paraprofessionals with the skills that they need to address the specific challenges of the students and to support them better, and then increases their confidence and effectiveness in your special education classroom.
I also feel like selecting like a topic a week or a month, as you suggested, feels less overwhelming for the teacher or the clinician. Like, we're not going to try to teach you like the entire FBA process in one sitting. Let's really talk about reinforcement. Let's really talk about, you know, discrete trial data or error correction, picking one small piece and getting good with that. And then, yeah, as you said, tailoring it to what your class really needs.
Yeah, because this year may be totally different than next year. And so just kind of thinking about what are one or two things. And I know we just kind of did like a one-page worksheet of like, here's like a definition of a behavior, and then here's some questions I could ask them. And then like just kind of talking about how that applies to the learners that we have. And so it's very simplistic, but it is slowly adding in some value and conversation points. And then they can apply those strategies or techniques within the school day. And they're not overwhelmed by like, here's this like 40-page manual. Go ahead and read it all and make sure you're proficient by Monday morning, you know, paraprofessional handbooks, of which I have, I know we've talked, like I've used yours for years. And so it allows them to have some general knowledge and some why we use visuals and different things, but also honing in on specific trainings for your students is can make a big impact as well.
Yeah. And like you said, like really individualized, because each year is different. Like you might have a year where like prompt fading is a big issue, but like the next year it's not. So you want to spend the time to really focus on what's relevant. I mean, kind of in the same way we do with our students' curriculum.
For sure. I think that it definitely can make a huge impact. And that kind of leads into step number four, which is to let them allow collaboration to happen with the IEP implementation. That includes data collection. That includes writing for upcoming educational and behavioral strategies that you're using for the kids. I even did this like just simple T-chart with the word strengths and the word weaknesses for each kid and had the paras write out what they see academically, socially, functionally, and use some of that information as a source of data, because their input, what they're seeing, is totally different or can enhance what you already know, because sometimes they see them at different points, but then they feel a part of the process and the team.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, so working together to implement the IEPs ensures consistency and reinforces the unified approach for the students' support. And this collaborative approach fosters a cohesive educational team plan.
And what I like about a lot of these strategies too, it's like you keep saying like simple, it can be, you know, something quick, like it could just be the, hey, write down strengths and weaknesses, something that just takes a few minutes and maybe doesn't feel like, oh, this is a game changer thing, but it really is, because you're asking that professional to give their input and really empowering them in such an important way.
Yeah. And when they feel valued, you know, there's that saying like, when you feel valued, you do so much more, but it really is true, even with this kind of setting with paraprofessionals, because when they feel supported and heard and a part of the team, then they are willing to adjust and make sure that they are implementing and doing the best they can to find success too. They want to see the wins. they want to celebrate. If you're celebrating the victories and the little wins, they are going to be a lot more on board if they feel heard and appreciated.
Yes. Okay, what's our last tip?
So the last tip is maybe a little obvious, but to keep it simple is to honestly monitor and adjust your strategies as needed. So when we regularly assess the effectiveness of our classroom strategies and then we make those adjustments as needed, we're going to use the feedback from the paraprofessionals as well as your observations and other data points to refine our approaches and our interventions. We want to recognize the efforts of our paraprofessionals and provide that constructive feedback in ways that is helpful and impactful for them to help them grow in their role.
I think that points to how continuous staff training and collaboration needs to be. It's not like, oh, I did that in August, check it off my list, and I'm done, right? Like, it's ongoing.
For sure. So that continuous monitoring and adjustment of strategies help the team stay responsive to the students' needs, and it ensures that the teaching methods remain effective, consistent, and relevant throughout the school year.
Awesome. Oh, I love all these strategies. I think these are all really straightforward but actionable that can make a big impact and really kind of set you up for success going into the new school year, even though that feels far away, but going into that next school year with a plan.
For sure. And to just start, like, you can take one of these steps and it can be well integrated into your classroom and then build on from there, just like we do with so many other things in our classrooms or in our settings that we work in.
Awesome. Okay, so Dawn, where can people go to learn more from you about staff training and all the other things?
Sure. So at Cultivating Exceptional Minds, we're dedicated to providing resources and trainings. And one way that we do that is through our Exceptional Collective, which is our membership, but we also provide weekly mini professional development materials through the podcast Be the Exception and Special Education. And then over on Instagram and TikTok, it's just at Cultivating Exceptional Minds as well.
Great. I will link all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.